Well, I'd like to do something slightly different with our Bible reading this morning. We have a Carols by Candlelight this evening, a slightly different day. So we're going to read Luke chapter 15, and I'd like to tell you this as a story. And when I've told you the story, I'm going to invite you, if you're happy to do this, to just turn to someone near you or next to you and retell the story. Retell the story that I've just told to you. And once you've retold it, then switch over and the other person tell it back to you. So you'll hear it a couple of times around. But just let me tell you the story. So try and listen carefully because you'll be retelling it in a moment. So this is Luke chapter 15, verses 11 to 32. Luke chapter 15, verses 11 to 32. I encourage you to listen to the story. Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger son said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in the whole country, and he began to be in need. So he hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am, starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the elder son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. 'Your brother has come,' he replied, 'and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound.' The elder brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, 'Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him.' 'My son,' the father said, 'you are always with me, everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. End of the story. So, minute or two. Just turn to someone next to you. You don't need to remember the whole thing. Retell that in your own words. And if you can, just close the Bible if you've got it open. Just to retell it in your own words. I'll start you off. Jesus continued, there was a man who had two sons. There we go. I've given you the first bit. So, the man who had two sons. Just try and retell that in a minute or so. We'll swap over. Okay, I think some of you are finished. Others, some of you are very good at summarizing. You finish very quickly. Others of you were getting the absolute every deal. Do open the Bible again if you want to just check what you missed or what you left out or what you added in. But I wonder, as you were retelling that in your own words or some of your own words, and as you were hearing somebody else tell it to you in their own words, whether there was something that stood out for you. For some of us, this is a very familiar story. Some of us, it will be brand new. Some of us, it will be familiar. And on your service sheet, borrow Josh's for a moment, you may have noted there's a little box at the bottom. We had lots to fit into today's service sheet, but we managed to squeeze in a space. And the reason that space is there is as an invitation to you. If just now, as you were telling or hearing that story, something struck you, something new or different or a new angle on it, feel free just to jot down there what it was. I would love, we haven't got time now, but I would love to hear what that was for you. I'm going to tell you what it was for me now, but I would love to hear what it was for you. And maybe you might note something down there and then speak to somebody after the service or come and tell me or email me or whatever. It'd be really good to, it's a very valuable thing to do, to read and to retell and to think, what is God saying to me today through this story that may be for some of us quite a familiar one? But it's a good story. It is a good story. I read this last week, someone saying, this is the greatest story ever told. I don't know what you feel about that, but it's certainly a good story, a memorable story. It's got lots in it. It's got family drama. It's got the parent and the child, the sibling rivalry. There's that dramatic homecoming. There's partying and celebration and argument and disagreement. It sounds a bit like a sort of EastEnders Christmas special in some ways. But there's a lot there. There's a lot happening in this story. And it would be good for you to think about what it was this time that struck you about it. But here we are at the end, or nearly the end, of Advent. And through this Advent season, we've been asking a question. It may be on the screen if I've got it right. Great expectations. What are you hoping for this Christmas? We started 3 weeks ago with this question, and 3 weeks is quite a long time, we'd agree, in politics. And thinking about what has happened in these last 3 weeks, it's a long time in families, it's a long time in schools, it's a long time in universities, a long time in workplaces. I wonder how you're feeling this morning, 3 days from Christmas, whether you are full of great expectations or not for our country, maybe, or for yourself, or for our church. But I think you may remember, if you were here, that this parable is Jesus responding to the Pharisees and teachers of the law. And they were furious that Jesus was spending all this time with the wrong kind of people. And in verse 2 of chapter 15, they were saying this, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." That's the accusation. Jesus is spending too much time with the wrong kind of people. And he tells this story as a response. Now, I want to share with you just briefly this morning three pictures, three photographs, actually, that my friend Lewis has taken and shared with me very kindly that I think just capture three things that have struck me new, really, about this story in the last few days. The first picture speaks of or looks at the issue of being lost. Of being lost, maybe being lost in a crowd, but being lost. And of course, we talk about this story as the parable of the lost son. The parable of the lost son. It comes after the lost sheep and the lost coin, and now the lost son. There's something lost in this story. The younger son, we see at the very beginning of the story, in verse 12, he's lost. He says to his father, "Father, give me my share of the estate." Now, an inheritance is something you get after somebody dies. You don't get it before they die. What this young man is saying to his father is, "I wish you were dead. I wish you were dead. I wish you were out of the way so I can get to my money." That's really what he's saying. He's very, very lost in terms of being so far from what we would expect of a reasonable human being. He asks for his money. He is lost. And verse 13, he takes that money and he goes off to a distant country. He wastes it. And what he wants is he wants the gifts without the giver. He wants the money without the relationship. And maybe we might say that's the heart of all sin, that we want the good things that God gives, but we don't want him. We want the gifts, but not the giver. And I wonder, I'm stood here in front of this manger, and the straw is going everywhere, actually. But I wonder, as we approach Christmas, whether we might reflect ourselves. Are we sometimes in the same position as this younger son, wanting the good things, wanting the gifts, but not so interested in the person giving? Enjoying the good things of Christmas, the food and the celebration and the time off, but not being that interested in the God who supplies all of those things to us. Maybe we might say, "Well, I'll come to church on Sunday, and that will be sort of my obligation to God dealt with. I'll even maybe come on Christmas morning for 45 minutes, and that will be it done." Wanting the gifts, but not the giver. The younger son, well, he's lost. Verse 17 in the story, he realizes it, and he gets up and decides to go home. So it is about lostness. And the picture there is a powerful demonstration of that. But you know, I've got a problem with calling this the parable of the lost son. Because there's not one lost son in this story, but two. We could call it the parable of the lost sons. They're both lost. The older son, he's out there in the field working hard, and we might well empathize with him. He's been working hard, he comes home and finds there's a party going on. And he asks what's happening, and he finds out his brother has come home. And his father, rather than kicking him straight out again, his father's welcomed him. And he is furious, angry, annoyed with his father that his father has been so generous. And he is outside of the party, refusing to go in. And he says to his father, "I've done everything. I've kept all of the rules. I've obeyed everything you've told me to do." He's kept all the rules, but actually, he's missed the point. Kept all of the rules, but missed the point. And he's ended up lost, far from his father's heart. His father's heart of love and compassion. This elder brother is as lost and as far from that as the younger brother when he was off in that far country. He is lost too. Despite never having left home, he's there, he's following the rules, but he's missed the point. So there are two lost people in the parable today. And I wonder, again, where you are this morning. Maybe you identify with the younger brother. The younger brother who wants the gifts but not the giver. Or maybe the older brother who's keeping all of the rules but has missed the point. Well, there is hope in this parable for both sons. But the second picture, more briefly, is this one. It speaks of exclusion, of being left out, of being alone. And the younger son is certainly excluded in that pig field. What an awful place for a good Jewish boy to find himself. He knows he's messed up. He knows he's made mistakes. He knows that he needs to ask forgiveness. But here's what he plans to say when he gets home. He's going to say, "I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants." In other words, he's saying, "I'm not family anymore. I'm not family anymore. Make me a servant because I'm not good enough. I'm not good enough. I was here on Friday, just out there where Olivia sat now, talking to somebody at the community cafe who said exactly this to me. He said to me, I know I'm not good enough for God. I know what I've done. I know who I am. I'm not good enough. And so he placed himself, like the younger son, outside of the family. But also, the older brother does the same thing. Did you notice as I was telling the story, as you were hearing it and retelling it, how many times the older brother calls his father, father? Did you notice? I'll save you time. He never says it. He never says it. The younger brother does, but the older brother doesn't. Doesn't call him dad. Doesn't call him father. Instead, he says this: all these years, I've been slaving for you. He sees himself as a slave, not as a son. He's put himself outside of the family, views himself as an outsider, because he thinks his father doesn't care. He thinks his father doesn't care, and it's just not fair. You never gave me even a young goat. The younger brother gets the best beef, and I don't even get a young goat. It's just not fair. I see myself not as a son, but as a slave. And so we have these two sons. One saying, treat me like a servant, because I'm not good enough. The other one saying, you already treat me like a slave, and it's not fair. And they're both excluding themselves from the family, putting themselves outside. I'm not good enough, or it's just not fair. And maybe you can identify with one or the other of those two. I'm not good enough, or it's not fair. And there's hope for both. There's hope for both in the final picture. This is my favorite part, and I love this picture when Lewis sent this to me. The final picture. It's a picture of embrace. A picture of embrace. You see, these two sons came from a very different position, very different circumstances, but both were lost. Both felt excluded. The father reacts to both of them in exactly the same way. Verse 20, the younger son was coming home. What does the father do? He sees him, he goes out to him, he runs to him, he embraces him, he gives him a robe, he says, you're my son, you're my son, my child, I love you. Nothing you can do can put you outside of my love for you, my son. That's what he does to the younger son. What about the older son? Verse 28, when he's outside the party, refusing to come in, what does the father do? The father sees and goes out to him, goes to him, listens to his complaint as he listened to the younger son, and says to him, not, you're right, you don't belong. No, he says, verse 31, my son. He affirms his position as a child. My son, you are always with me. Everything I have is yours. This son who thought his father didn't care. This son who kept all the rules but missed the point. My son, the embrace of the father. We see it in the picture there with the mother and her children. There's hope in that picture, in this parable, for those who feel it's just not fair. Those who feel lost because they put themselves out of the picture. Those who feel that they're just not good enough for God. It's all in the Christmas story. It's all tonight at our carols by candlelight. They're actually the center of what we're going to talk about. A father, a loving father, stepping into our experience, going outside, as it were, to meet us where we are, to tell us that we are loved by him, that we are his children. He is a good, good father. And what is the fundamental definition of who we are? We are loved by him. We are loved by him. Yes, we've messed up. Yes, we've gone wrong. Yes, we've done all sorts of things that God dislikes. But fundamentally, we are loved by him. That's the Christmas message. And we're going to sing. And Josh and the musicians are going to lead us in a song called, which some of us may not be familiar with, I've Heard a Thousand Stories. We've read a story just now. We've told a story. We've thought about the meaning of that story. There are many stories this world tells. Here is a story Jesus tells to show us the heart of God and fundamentally who we are. And the truths that come through in the chorus of this song. You're a good, good father. That's who you are. That's who you are. And I'm loved by you. That's who I am. That's who. And maybe you're here this morning and you're not quite sure about that. You're not really convinced that God is good or that you are loved. And as we sing this song, I want to encourage you just to take on board that message. It's a gentle message. It's a true message for us this morning. The prodigal son, there were two sons that were lost. We might feel lost in either direction. But today as we sing, let's be reminded that you are a good, good father. Let me just pray and then hand over to Josh. Father, thank you for this message. I thank you for this story. And I thank you for those reminders and those pictures that we may feel lost. We may feel excluded. But we can know now, today, here, the embrace of your love because you are that good, good Father, and we are loved by you. Thank you for this truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.